I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Vermont's tradition of thrashing out matters of local significance at the town hall meeting goes back over 200 years. It's something of a New England ritual. At the same time, Vermont's pride in its soldiers, its Green Mountain Boys, dates back to the 1770s. Well, those two traditions alternately came together and collided yesterday as Vermonters in 54 towns across the state debated the need and the purpose of having Vermont's National Guard stationed in Iraq. Here's J.C. Myers in Calais, Vermont.
It doesn't mean that I agree that what we're doing is the right thing for Americans or for Iraqis. When we start hearing about the 1,400, 1,500, how many now, Americans that are killed in Iraq, that hurts. Those are families torn apart, lives ruined. For this, for what purpose? For what purpose?
JC talks about 1,400, 1,500 deaths in Iraq. You need to know there are 1,500 people in Calais. It's one of the many towns to have lost someone to this war, a National Guard sergeant. And that is the other part of this story. By a measure of percentage of the state's population, Vermont has an unusually high number of Guard and Reserve people serving in Iraq, and by that same measure, has suffered more losses than any other state. So, should towns or states have the right to say, that's enough? Now, the question on the pamphlet distributed read, what's Vermont doing in Iraq? Well, what do you think? Is that a fair question? Should Vermont's men and women in uniform see themselves as part of a national fighting force, or should any state be able to ask the question or bring troops home to do the policing and other jobs that reservists were meant to do at home? Do you think small-town America is carrying an undue amount of the load in Iraq? And how's the war affecting you in your hometown? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And today we start with Nancy Brown. She is a school teacher from Rochester, Vermont. Her son served in Iraq for the past year with the Vermont National Guard and just returned home last week. Nancy's joining us from a studio in Montpelier, Vermont. Hi, Nancy.
Hello there.
Nice to have your son home, I bet.
Oh, you don't know.
We'll talk about it.
Incredible. The soldiers flew in from, you know, they were late because of a snowstorm. And so we were anticipating after a whole, you know, 11 months having them come through that door. And when they finally put the hangar door up and they had the lights on them, this is the snow swirling around them. It was incredible.
Hmm. Nancy, you've been key figure arguing to have this issue, this debate brought up in Vermont's town halls, as many as possible. How many did you make it to yesterday? How many meetings?
I made it to three. I actually started on Monday night because they had some early ones in my hometown, Rochester. And then I made it to two more, which is quite doing something because the towns are far between, you know, there's a distance between them.
Now, I saw some numbers this morning saying 39, maybe more, of the towns actually agreed to vote in favor of the resolution asking the state to raise this question about what the National Guard and Reserve people are from Vermont are doing in Iraq. When you watched the debate and listened to the debate in these three meetings, did you hear it being treated with a certain amount of respect?
Total respect. I was impressed. It was very emotional, very intense. I mean, when you have these communities like Roxbury, for example, with just a few hundred people, it's, you know, everybody knows somebody that's in Iraq, and it was incredibly emotional. And in some cases, they wanted to table the discussion, but it was, you know, everyone thought, no, this is the tradition of town meeting to discuss things like this, And they discussed it, and it was very respectful, not to say that things didn't get heated a few times, but everybody, you know, respected everybody enough to listen them through.
Do you see this as a straight-ahead question about should we have Vermont men and women serving in these uniforms in this country, or do you see it as a kind of a larger anti-war protest but a different way of doing it?
I think that it's both. I think that you need to look at how the soldiers are being used in this war in this particular way. The National Guard is 40% of the force and 35% higher death rate. I think they're relying on the National Guard way more than they should in this war. And I also believe that it's an unjust war, and there's plenty of evidence that supports that. There's no ties to Al-Qaeda.
Right.
No connection to 9/11 whatsoever. And I think that in this unjust war, we should be looking at that. And I think that overall, I think that, you know, if you look at the history of the National Guard, there were times when the states did have more power over the, you know, the power to deploy the Guard or not. And that's not to say that I don't think the Guard should ever be used in any war. I believe they should be used in support positions, not being on the front line. And I think that they should be used in cases of emergency threats to our country. And I also think they should be used for homeland security. So, I mean, it's very complex.
Nancy, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to bring another guest into the program now, and I'm going to begin by talking about Private First Class Kyle Gilbert. He was with the 82nd Airborne and was, in fact, one of the first men killed in Iraq, shot by a sniper in Baghdad while trying to rescue a fellow soldier. Now, one of the last things Kyle said to his mother was, "Just don't forget me." And they didn't. Friends and family in Brattleboro, Vermont, named a new bridge carrying Main Street across Whetstone Brook, the Kyle Charles Gilbert Memorial Bridge. And Kyle's mother, Regina Gilbert, is joining us today on the phone from Guilford. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
We're doing okay. Thanks for asking.
You didn't go to the meeting in Guilford, I understand.
No, we didn't. We kind of keep a low profile. It's just been hard for us to get out and see people, but we just kind of keep to ourselves. And ever since this has happened,
Regina, there's a part of the story about the dedication of the bridge that I want to remind our listeners about, and that is that there was an argument at the time over whether or not, you know, certain language should be included in the dedication. Should you put in the words "Iraqi freedom" for Operation Iraqi Freedom? And I know that caused some ruffled feathers. I wonder if that discussion, happening when it did, about something that was so close to you, was a reflection of the same kind of thing that was coming up in the town hall meetings, that people have really conflicted views about this war, particularly with, you know, sons and daughters from just next door serving there.
Right. It's a hard topic for everybody, not just in the state of Vermont, but all over. You know, and that's one of the reasons that, unfortunately, a lot of the soldiers are dying because, you know, in Vermont, we raise our sons and our daughters to be aware of their freedoms, mm-hmm. be patriotic, and kind of look out for our neighbors. And unfortunately, it's a heated subject. And through all of this, though, I do have to say I haven't come across one person that's for the war. I'm definitely not for the war. I'm for the soldiers, and I feel for the families, definitely. If my son was in that situation as a guardsman, you know, and I would feel just as sad and heated about it. But one thing I heard one of your people say that we're still waiting to find out why we're over there, and that's always been a question in the back of our minds. Though we supported our son and our soldiers, it just hit us to home. And we have a lot of friends, actually, that are over there and their sons and daughters. And we're a very small community here, and we just try to be there and support each other as best we can.
I mean, it seems to me that this kind of involvement, these questions of patriotism and risk and what's right, though they do hit a little harder in small towns.
They do. I do. I totally believe that, especially because we are a small community and we don't take life for granted. We're willing to work hard, and we're willing to raise our families with good values and step up to the plate when needed. But then again, that goes into, we didn't find the weapons. We still haven't found the weapons. And I think these men and women that have lost their lives, their families, and the soldiers that are over there deserve some answers. And we don't seem to be getting anywhere.
Nancy Brown, back to you. Do you think that these questions get asked more in small-town America?
I think they're getting asked everywhere. I think small-town America, there's more conversations with more people that you know. everybody knows everybody.
Right.
There were churches all over praying for my son to come home safe. And when he came home, I mean, he's meeting people in the towns around, and everybody knows him. And everybody's worried about him coming home. And I think that it is asked everywhere. But in Vermont, like she said, we don't take life for granted. And we have a lot, there is a lot of talk about what is support. You know, what is real support for these soldiers? To me, it's making sure that they're treated well when they're in Iraq and when they come home. And when they have deployments that are so long in combat situations, I worry about what effect that has on them. I worry about, you know, 17% rate of post-traumatic stress syndrome. I worry about, you know, because the recruitment in Vermont used to be near the top. Now it's near the, I think, bottom 10. Recruitment is down. I'm worried what that means for my son, because the Pentagon is talking about changing the rules, the 24. He could end up back there, and it's going to be 4,000 troops. They're going to be 4,000 National Guard troops short in 2006. My son's still going to be in the Guard. You know, and I've talked to mothers who's, you know, have had a year like myself, and to think about him going back in 2006, you know, I don't know how I can get through that.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. Do you think small-town America is carrying an undue amount of the load in Iraq, and is that a good reason for people in Vermont to do what they did and ask questions about whether or not their National Guard and Reserve need to be serving in that country that far away? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection this hour, a conversation about the war, small-town America. We're watching the response of people in Vermont as activists there managed to put a resolution on the agenda of 54 town meetings, saying maybe this was not such a good idea to have National Guard and Reserve people from Vermont taking their orders from Washington, and asking the state legislature to review this and whether or not the National Guard and Reserve have obligations at home that are not being met. We'd like to hear from you on this. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Nancy Brown is with us. She is a school teacher from Rochester, Vermont, and her son just returned from Iraq, where he was stationed for over a year with the Vermont National Guard. Regina Gilbert is also with us. Her son, Kyle, was killed in Iraq in August 2003. Regina, you said a little earlier in the program that you didn't go to the meeting. Do you think that the debate itself, the resolution, the conversation, is that appropriate? Is that what should, is this how people should be having this conversation?
In regards to being in the meetings and getting the resolution?
Yeah, just because you didn't go doesn't mean you disagree with the conversation, right?
No, I totally agree. Something has to be done. And I was just hearing in that other mother's voice sadness, and she's scared, and I know exactly how she feels. And to keep going through that 15, 16 months out of the year and maybe see them for a while and don't know if they're going back, and, of course, we don't know if they're coming home. I totally agree, and I think that this great Vermont has passed that, so maybe somebody will start listening to us in Washington, and maybe other states will start following. I think something has to be done. There has to be a timeline. There has to be – these families need to be told what is actually – when is it going to end? Is it going to end soon? You know, we need some solutions. We can't just keep going on and on and on. And with Bush back in there for 4 more years, I totally believe he needs to stop going to other countries and, you know, smoozing with them. I really think he's got to look in his backyard and say, well, I'm here for the next 4 years. I have to start taking care of my country myself. And that's why, you know, he was elected. And I just feel so, my heart is just, it's got a big hole in it, but to hear these mothers and to read in the papers and watch them on the news, I don't know how they do it. And I think we just have to, and let them know that we support them. And I just, like I said, my heart is just, I heard it in her voice, and I know exactly what she's thinking and feeling. And it's just not fair to any more of the Vermonters. We've filled the plate, and let's get some help here.
What are you thinking, Nancy, as you listen to Regina talk?
I think, you know, it, think she knows exactly what it is to go through every day and every night wondering
if the phone's going to ring.
Yeah.
There's going to be a knock on the door. I just don't know how that they do it. I guess that they do it for their sons and daughters because that's what I was doing. But like I said, we need help here. Washington needs to step up and start listening to these small town Americas, and we can't keep just giving them our sons and daughters. Let's get something taken care of and do it now before it gets too late.
Nancy, I mentioned at the beginning of the program that Vermont has a tradition of these town hall meetings. Can you help us with a little bit more of that history? Is this a political method that Vermonters have used in the past to actually get things done?
Oh, yeah, it goes back. Frank Bryan at the University of Vermont does great history lessons on the tradition. It's been there from the beginning. Towns have gotten together and decided on town business, and they decide, you know, if they're going to buy another fire truck, if they can afford it, or, you know, they talk about the school budget. All the business of the town is voted on. Vote, and sometimes Australian ballot, but usually it's a voice vote or a show of hands. And we have had a tradition of bringing up, you know, international and national issues before, such as the nuclear ban. And Vermonters are known to be able to say what they think and respectful to each other and make a decision on what's morally right, whether in a nonpartisan way, like our congressional delegation, Jeffords and Sanders, mm-hmm. and Leahy. They're known to be outspoken, and they're Vermonters, and that's the way town meetings are run.
Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to have you join our conversation, reflecting on yesterday's results of the town hall meetings being held right across the state of Vermont. A majority of the town saying, you know, we're not too happy with the way that citizens from our towns, villages, and cities are being used in the National Guard and the reserves in the war in Iraq, and how that would resonate in your hometown. 1-800-423-TALK. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and Michael's with us from there. Hi, Michael.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, first of all, my deepest sympathy to the lady on the line that lost her son. My heart and prayers go out to all the families that are over there, that have friends and families over there. I was just wondering if you were going to discuss or if you had thought about how this topic kind of parallels to what was going on in America, you know, even from its foundation, like around the 1850s and 60s before Civil War, with the whole idea of states' rights versus the federal government, and if you think that this kind of parallels that in any way.
There's some language from the U.S. Constitution that was a part of this resolution, Michael, which is probably worth quoting here. The quote that they pull is that the Congress has the power to, quote, provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union to suppress insurrections and repel invasions, end quote. And the question Vermonters were and are asking is, so is that language a good enough reason to have people from right across the Union leaving their Guard and Reserve units to go to Iraq? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I know our military is all based on volunteers. I mean, no one's being drafted, and that, I think that's a great thing, and I think that's part of what's so commendable about our forces. But mm-hmm. also know that when people join the National Guard, they don't join expecting to go to combat. Most of them, they join expecting to be on the home front, you know, to be helping with floods and natural disasters, things like that. And so I don't know. I think it's very good to, you know, a good question and something to look at. I don't know what the answer is. I think it's a very difficult problem.
Well, Nancy, it's a part of the argument that's put against you that your son did not have to join the National Guard.
Well, my son joined the National Guard for many reasons. And one of the reasons that he joined was because he's a college student and they offer college tuition benefits. And that is one of the things that was heavily advertised and still is to high school students across the nation in high schools. And if you look at the statistics, you'll see that a lot of the soldiers that sign up for the National Guard come from small towns or come from economic backgrounds where, you know, they need that money. There's a janitor in my school who was in the National Guard, it's ended up in Iraq. And if you look at it, you know, a lot of the soldiers that sign up are looking for a second source of income.
Right.
And it's not to say that they will not go and fight for country and constitution, because they will. And Vermonters have done that from the beginning. They're well known for their bravery. My son's battalion performed spectacularly under very difficult conditions. And they're like... the other mom said, I mean, they're ready to step up to the plate and take care of each other. But in this case, this is an unjust war. And the states should be able, and the people should be able to weigh in on whether they think the reason that their sons and daughters and husbands and fathers, in some cases grandfathers, are being sent off to war, you know, is it a just, have all other means been exhausted? Nobody should have to lose anybody in their family the way we've lost so many people. We've lost 11 Vermonters and, you know, like...
Four in the Guard.
What is the reason?
Is that right? Four in the Guard and
four in my son's battalion.
Right.
And, you know, my son drove a Humvee in the Sunni Triangle.
I totally agree with you, Nancy, on all aspects of what you've been hitting on. And I think that when they do sign up, my son did the same thing. He wanted the extra income to be able to go to college. And like a small town, economic background, that's something...
A lot of people do.
Definitely. And I think that when they are volunteering, and they did volunteer, however, they always seem to put, like when you buy a car, a small print. It's never coming right off the paper. Of course, they're not going to mention it. Possibility of war deployment. They say, wow, you can have college money and you can see the world. And I believe that that's wrong. They need to be up front with these young men and women saying, listen, this is what the military does. This is what we trained for. There's a possibility, looking at the country, you could be going to war. Now, do you want to really keep going on? Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. And I think that that needs to be changed as well. Let's be honest. I mean, my son didn't join thinking that there was going to be a war broke out. He signed up in his senior year. He wanted to follow his dad's footsteps. He was in the military also, and they make it sound like it's going to Hollywood, and it's not. It's hard work. And yes, they volunteered, but my son didn't volunteer to be, you know, shot in the head. I'm sorry to be specific about that, but. But he did sign up to serve his country and take care of his freedoms and kind of pay us back and say, you know what, thanks Vermont. But volunteering can be seen in so many different ways. But if you're going to volunteer, they should have all the rules on the plate for these young men and women. That's just I don't know if Nancy agrees with me, but.
I totally agree with you, and you know, I've talked to many, many parents who have said the same thing, and I've recently been doing a lot of work directly with the National Guard and the VA and the Vet Center to make sure that things are in place in Vermont for the soldiers that have come back and the ones that will come back. And one of the National Guard higher-ups did tell me that they've changed the message, and they now give the soldiers a proposed date of deployment, and I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah, exactly. 1-800-423-8255 is the number to join us. Excuse me, Wuno. A lot of people here want to join us. Let's go to Columbia, South Carolina, and Brian's with us. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I first my condolences and to these two mothers, or one mother, and just the understanding that I am a soldier, and I have a family, and I just wanted to say that, you know, when we look at this whole thing, I applaud their exercising their rights in the small town meetings. This is tremendous that they're doing that and exercising those rights. But as a soldier, we look at the structure that the National Guard is predominantly combat arms. A large portion is infantry, armor, field artillery, and those areas are needed not first for natural disasters in the state, but to be ready for mobilization. And that is mainly how it's structured. And I think as a small town, having lived in a small town, that it seems more people tend to volunteer or willing to serve or willing to do those things. And as opposed to just being a demographic question, it's a statement of the character of small towns, people willing to help. And they do that in joining both active National Guard and Reserve components. But that their main focus of the National Guard is to be ready for mobilization when it comes.
Do you think that that was as clear to the people signing up over the past 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years as perhaps it ought to have been, Brian? I mean, I hear you describe it. I'm not going to quarrel with you, but you've also heard what both Nancy and Regina are saying as well.
Yes, sir, but in one regard is that while it's not clearly always stated, listen, you are signing up to fight our nation's wars, and that is your primary responsibility. I think it's inherent in the whole message. Recruiting commercials are filled. National Guard ones are filled not only with people helping in floods, but with soldiers carrying rifles and being arrayed in combat gear. That is all across the recruiting commercials, and it is all across the training and everything else. And I think I even tend to look at those things and sometimes look past it because it's so common an occurrence and we see it so much. But I think it's inherent in the whole system. And it's out there in the front, even if it's not stated in those stark, clear terms.
You're listening to The Connection. My name's Dick Gordon. Nancy Brown, what are you thinking as Brian sort of gives that other perspective?
Well, first of all, I said before that the soldiers are willing to go to combat in cases of emergency, threat to our national security. And I have, you know, I know they're trained as soldiers, and I'm saying that that's not the case in this war. And I'm not saying that it ever will happen, but I think that the governors had a meeting and they decided that 25% of the National Guard should be deployed. 25 should be ready to be deployed. We've got, it's now 46% in Vermont. It is up to 96% in some states. That's a misuse of the Guard. And as far as the small town values and that these soldiers sign up to serve country and constitution, I think that most of the people that I've talked to, including soldiers, signed up because they needed to economically. I think the small towns and the further we get into the bush, you know, years are hurting. And they, you know, financially, small towns rely on state more heavily on state and federal expenditures than larger places for such services like schools, roads, affordable housing. And when federal expenditures for war require the cuts back, I mean, it's immediately effective in towns, and people need to get jobs. And I have tons of you know, people I know that took advantage of that extra income. Like I said, the janitor in my school, the teacher's aide, my son for the college education. And just in Roxbury, which is not, you know, I think it's 300 and something citizens, the cost of the war so far is $219,456. That's what's been appropriated just for the town of Roxbury, Vermont.
Brian, did you want to throw in a last word? We're going to take a break here in just half a sec, but I wanted to see if you had a final word.
I would just say that, well, my wife's reserve unit was mobilized. We were in a small town in upstate New York at the time, and the fact that they could be remobilized again, I recognize that fact, and that's what we did sign up for. And while it is a sacrifice, I would have been more than willing for her to be mobilized again if that's what was necessary and that was what we were called to do.
Brian, thanks for your call. 1-800-423-8255. It's partly a conversation about the load that small-town America is carrying in this war. It's partly a conversation about what did you sign up for. And it's partly a conversation about, is this the beginning of people at some kind of grassroots level saying, you know what, enough. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Well, we are about 2.5 weeks away from the second anniversary of the beginning of this war. We've been through a lot since then, a presidential election, conversations at the UN right around the world, all kinds of fora where this debate has taken place. What's it sounding like in your hometown right now? We're listening to what people in Vermont are saying this hour as these conversations are taking place in town halls right across that state. We'd like to know what you're hearing, what you're thinking. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Nancy Brown and Regina Gilbert are with me on the program. We're going to go to Newport, Rhode Island, and Yvette's joining us. Hi, Yvette. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say to Nancy and Regina, thank you for the sacrifice that you've made. As a military wife myself, I'm not sure if it's a sacrifice that I'm ever going to be able to make gracefully, but I want to thank you for that and to let you ladies know that you deserve that thanks, that some of the things that have already been talked about by other callers are things I wanted to address, and now I don't need to. The states' rights issue, the issue of is this something the National Guard should be doing? Should these people know that this is what they're signing up for? And I think that's a very important point that these women are bringing to the fore. We do need to make clearer to people who sign up what it is they're signing up for. But I wanted to address the small town issue and the issue of, you know, these people who are signing up, what are they getting into?
Mm-hmm.
My husband is in the Navy right now. He's an officer in the Navy. His father was enlisted in the Navy.
Yeah.
He grew up in the military. He knew what he was getting into in a way that maybe others don't, but he did come from a small town, small, rural, poor community when he chose to join the National Guard for the Army in order to go to college. Same situation. After that experience, he decided to become an officer in the military full-time, and he knows what's involved. And I've talked to for me, my small community is Newport, Rhode Island. It's a small base in the middle of Japan. It's places where I've lived in the past few years following my husband around the world, you know, sitting on that small base in a foreign country while he was in participating in Iraqi freedom.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of wives and a lot of, a lot of mostly sailors who have participated in the action, most recent actions.
Yvette, I wonder if I can ask you a question. We were talking a little bit earlier on the program about the usefulness, about the way of making a political point today. And you know, the people in Vermont who chose the town hall meetings to say, is this the proper use of American men and women in uniform? I wonder if you can just contrast that for me with, you know, 100,000 people on the mall in Washington with signs saying, end the war. Which, I mean, does the Vermont thing have more weight, more power for you?
Actually, in a lot of ways it does, because I think it has more to do with what we actually believe as Americans than just making a big splashy statement, which I think sometimes is a lot of what's going on when there's a march in Washington. Not all, obviously. There have been some very important things that have happened. But I think that's what my husband is defending, is this right for citizens. And I believe very strongly in states' rights. You know, it's the rights of our citizens to say, hey, what's going on? And it's very, very, believe me, a lot of military people, this is what their job is. They're defending the Constitution. To see these women getting up and using their rights and saying, hey, let's look at this, that's exactly what these guys are supporting.
Let's hear some thoughts from Regina and Nancy on this, and as a comparison. And I don't mean for a nanosecond to say that the people who take part in the anti-war protests aren't necessarily being as effective as people who are going to a town hall meeting. It's more a question of who's going to, you know, what's going to be listened to? What will make a difference? Regina, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I wanted to tell her thank you for acknowledging our sons, and I really appreciate that. And I want to say thank you for your husband as well and what he's doing. I totally believe that people just want answers, and we've always kind of sat back and let the anti-war and protesters take over, feeling that we were maybe the majority and we shouldn't say what we feel. And through all of this in the last year and a half my son was killed, I always felt like I really couldn't say how I felt about the war. And then I said to myself one day, my son's gone. He sacrificed his life so I could speak my mind. And I think people are starting to live up to that and say, yes, you know, my son and my daughter are over there. My husband's over there. My wife's going. You know, I still want, I think that we just want answers. And if we could do it in a calm, respectful way at the meetings, town meetings, we don't need to, you know, hold up signs. And then somebody's going to listen to us. I think that we've just felt like it's time for us to speak up for our rights, for our soldiers' rights, and go from there instead of just, you know, walking by protesters and not mm-hmm. feeling free for me to say, you know, I don't agree with you. We just kind of go past it and let them say and do what they feel. Well, it's time for us to say and step up for our freedoms as well. And I think that makes more of an impact because we're a small town. They're not used to it. They're used to being negative, and we just want some answers so we can come out of this somehow with some reasoning why we're there and why, you know, for me, why my son was killed. And that's basically, it's nip it in the bud. I just want some answers, and yeah. I believe Nancy feels the same way.
Well, Nancy, you were in those meetings yesterday. Did you find the quality of the debate, the sort of passion that was there, people were feeling free to speak their minds?
Yes, I feel that they were for the most part. I saw that they sometimes asked for a paper ballot instead of a show of hands, and in that case, I felt like that some of the people who were not speaking felt more comfortable giving a yes vote to the resolution than with a show of hands. The kind of debate that we've been having on the radio right now is kind of like a little microcosm of what happened yesterday, especially with the military people standing up and speaking about their military experiences, the military wives, Vietnam vets, and they were on both sides. You know, some Vietnam vets were pro-resolution and some Vietnam vets that were anti-resolution. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, support for the troops that are there and, you know, they're fighting for our democracy and the rights as citizens. You know, I don't believe that's why our soldiers are in Iraq right now fighting for our rights for democracy here. I think that there's a lot that's going on in Iraq about, you know, money and oil. And so that kind of discussion would come up. And
answers to those questions that Regina was talking about a little earlier. Let's go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tim's joining us from there. Hi, Tim.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a reservist and actually on active duty. I was over there for Desert Storm. And so I'm familiar with it. And in a way, I guess what really struck me hard was the statement that it's an unjust war. Having invested my own risk of my life over there, I took exception to that statement. And we need not forget that Saddam Hussein made over a million mothers cry. And we should know that a lot of people do view this as an just war, and that's a good thing that come out in these debates. But the reason I call is the fact that terrorism has a purpose and a political purpose, and it's done to break down people's resolve. And it often people of Vermont, people of the United States, are the audience of terrorism, and by demonstrating the danger of showing a lack of resolve and a lack of support at a time, we encourage that type of thing. And I know that's a hard thing to accept and a hard thing.
Do you think that's what the resolution was? Do you think that was showing a certain lack of resolve or a weakening of the American resolve, Tim?
It is. And there's a danger in that, and that the battle has been joined. And by prolonging it, we are endangering the fact that other people's sons and daughters will have to go there for a longer time.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. That's why we just want to get some answers and some timelines to figure out what's really going to be going on in the next year, next 2 years, 3 years. So, you know, I just think that the government needs to just step up and tell us really what's going on. And that's always been an issue in any war. And I think
Regina, what about Tim's point that if you criticize the war, that if you raise the kind of questions that are being raised, you're showing a kind of a lack of resolve and a resolve that's required?
I definitely feel like I gave my son's life. Now tell me why. And that's all I want to know. I mean, my son didn't know why he was going over there. He was just told to. His chief commander, President Bush, said, you know what, you've got to do this. And he said, okay, he was scared. He did it. But, you know, going in there and not knowing, I don't care if it's Desert Storm, Vietnam, you know, I'm sure the soldiers, even yourself being over there, do you know exactly why you were there? Do you know, I'm interested in it because I'm really scared for these soldiers.
No, and I was too, and I was that way, and the admiral came down and said, man, you have to decide, is this worth your life? It's a volunteer force. You joined, we're here, and there's nothing that you can do about it right now. Yes, I mean, there's time for debate, and I'm not opposed to what happened in in Vermont. I think people should speak out against the war. It's just a statement that flat out it's an unjust war. Well, that's really debatable, and I can understand opposing the war for thinking that it's unwinnable or those people can never be democratized over there. They're incapable of this. But there's been tremendous suffering over there, and hopefully we can end the suffering for the people in the Middle East. It might not work out. I believe that it will, and I believe it will make us more secure by bringing democracy to those people. The people I meet over there are not evil people. They are capable of living peacefully and living in a civilized world, and hopefully we can give them that chance. Yes, it's not perfect, and it never will be, but there is hope, and I'm a strong believer in the war. I understand the sacrifice, and again, I appreciate the sacrifices of your family.
And, Tim, I appreciate your call. Just a reminder to our listeners, I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Next to Lowell, Massachusetts, Charlie's with us. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. My name is Charlie Richardson, and I want to thank you for this wonderful program. The point I wanted to make was that the people who decided to send us into this war were not the ones whose loved ones went off to the war when Congress passed the resolution giving the president the right to go to war, we think illegally. Only one member of Congress had a son or daughter in the enlisted services, and the people in small towns and regular working people in this country who were actually going to have to make the sacrifices were not part of the conversation. Now, in Vermont, they're becoming part of the conversation. This is a great thing. Finally, the silence is being broken, and the voices that need to be heard are being heard. And this is starting to happen across the country in states like Oregon and Washington and elsewhere. People are speaking up around this issue of the National Guard being ripped out of their communities and sent off to a war.
There's talk of a similar meeting in Arlington, Massachusetts. A couple of towns in Pennsylvania have talked about having these kinds of resolutions. So you think this is just the start of something, Charlie?
I think it's very much just the start. My son was in the Marines. He was part of. He was in Iraq after the initial invasion. He's come back. But I'm part of a group called Military Families Speak Out that's made up of over 2,000 families across the country, including National Guard families, who are saying we need to talk about why our loved ones are being sent over to die and to come back injured and to come back with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're very concerned about police, firefighters, EMTs being ripped out of our communities and then being brought back suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and being placed back into our communities without proper equipment, proper care that they really need to reintegrate.
I'm curious to know, excuse me for just half a second here, Charlie, I want to go to Nancy on this, whether or not there is a kind of, even in the state of Vermont, a class level to this conversation. You've got a lot of affluent people who have moved into the state recently, and you've got a lot of people who have lived there all their lives and four generations. Do you see those kinds of divisions?
That's a difficult question. I just like with the Vietnam vets that have talked, they come out on both sides. I don't.
It doesn't,
you know,
split evenly or cleanly. I understand that for sure. But
But I think it is on the backs of you know, the National Guard. I think it is on the backs of the people with less money. I don't see a lot of people that have, you know, what people who have enough money for college, they don't go to the National Guard. I mean, they have enough money. Mm-hmm. I'm a single mom. My daughter was in college. My son was in college. I'm a public school teacher. I was getting my master's. I ran out of money. And so, you know, people with more resources don't do that.
So these town hall meetings and whatever comes from that, then this is the way that you get to make your point.
Right. I mean, that's the way everybody got to make their point. And I want to say that, you know, Vermonters came out strongly for this resolution. And that means, you know, Saddam Hussein was a very bad man, and he should not, you know, he should have been taken out. But by us in that circumstance, I don't think so. I think 100,000 innocent Iraqis are dead. There were other ways to go about this than the way it has been gone about. And I don't think that terrorism has gone down because of what I think it's increased, and a lot of people agree with me. So we had a chance to say that, and, you know, it was a strong showing for support for the resolution.
Regina, if
and the resolution called for immediate withdrawal of all the troops from Iraq.
I'm wondering, Regina, if there's a town hall meeting this time next year, you might go to that one.
Definitely. I think, you know, we just take it a day at a time. And I've learned in going through the select board when we had the bridge opposition and the meetings we were going to. And people, you know, they voiced their opinions, and we heard them. We worked it all out because that's, you know, what small towns do. You have the right to say what you need to say, but you know, let's compromise. However, I've heard people have come up and said, you know, to other people that know us and say, how do we talk to this couple? How what do we say? And it's hard in public because I'm so heated about it that people don't want to say what they feel because of the sacrifice that my husband and I have made, and it's uncomfortable for them.
I want to use this last few seconds of the program to thank you for that sacrifice and let you know that our thoughts are with you and your family. Thank you, Regina Gilbert, for being with us, and Nancy Brown. It was good to have you on the program as well. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.